morning, everyone. This is your old buddy, Glenn Coble. And the name of the show is Progressive Life. And we get together every Wednesday and Thursday, and we talk about the things that some people like and some people don't like. But that's all right. Today is going to be a little bit different. I decided that I wanted to do some... that I hadn't done before, a little bit less political, a little bit more personal, I guess you would say it. But anyway, we'll talk about things that help me get to sleep. it's not booze, so don't think that. Anyway, I wanted to mention, by the way, that you have a chance to at least listen to a woman of very high stature. Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor is going to give the opening remarks at the Mount Marion Palace Theater. Let's see, that's tomorrow, I believe. It's on the 15th. Day after tomorrow, I guess that is, right? No, today is the 14th, so it's tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, I guess, at the doors open at 5:30. And she was on the Supreme Court, as you probably remember, and she's going to talk about drug courts, and that could be quite interesting with the problems that we have of today, all the drug problems that we have. It might be very interesting. One of the things that, let me get right into it. I've often tried to get myself to sleep by thinking of what I would do if I won one of those giant lottery things, you know, $300 or $400 million dollars. And then I find it hard to believe that there are people. I heard a baseball player who's making $395 million in 10 years. There are people that make that every year. Why do we have so much poverty? Couldn't they share a little bit? Anyway, but one of the things that, well, first of all, what would you do if you won, $400 million? Well, first of all, you've got to pay the taxes. The taxes, I think I've heard is somewhere around 50% or 45%, something like that. So you get roughly a little more than half. But if you spend it on 301Cs or whatever they're called, the nonprofit things, you get some of that money, if not a lot of that money, back if you spend it all on nonprofits. But there's only a certain amount that you can take off. But anyway, that's one of the things that I thought what I would do. Well, the first thing I would do, and I imagine you would do the same thing, or I'm guessing that you would do the same thing, is make sure that my family was taken care of. I would like to set it up so that all three of my children would not have to have a need or a want for the basic necessities of life. I'm not the type of father that's going to give them $10 million and say, go have fun. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you give anybody or provide people with too much money anytime, because it tends to be. And I think if you look into the lottery history and information, you'll find that a lot of people that were huge lottery winners ended up either bankrupt or all the money was gone and they were back to living on their Social Security or whatever. I believe that I would probably, if I won $400 million, I think I could afford to set up a trust fund for each one of my kids for $1 million and let them live off the interest of that. If that wasn't enough money, they could do it on their own. Anyway, that's where I would start. How about you? Would you start with taking care of your family? Some people I know would not take care of their family because they don't have as close a relationship as I happen to have. I'm lucky. That's the first thing that I would do. Make sure that my family and myself, none of us will ever want for anything. And I don't mean want for anything like I want a new Cadillac or anything. You know, that's one of the things, and I don't mean to cast dispersions upon the name Cadillac, but one of the things that always bothered me when I was in the finance business, one of the things that always bothered me is people thought it was a necessity to have the best of everything. You had to have Starbucks coffee at $3.49 a glass, and you could make it at home for 50 cents or 25 cents for that matter. Another thing that, they wanted to have a Mercedes or something even more expensive, a Maserati or something like that, when all a car does is gather dirt and rust and drive you from place A to place B. I suppose that's to impress your friends. I'm lucky at my age. I'm not terribly worried about impressing my friends. My friends are my friends. They don't need to be impressed. Maybe that's why I don't have hundreds of friends. My funeral is not going to be like my father's funeral, where I think there were like 240 cars in the procession following my dad. It might have been 240 people. But still, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of cars that went out to the funeral. Anyway, one of the things that really makes me want, if I win something like that, one of the things I'd like to do is help make Marion a better place to live for all of us. And that kind of helps me get to sleep. The reason why I don't know. I'm kind of weird that way. I enjoy helping other people, and I don't mean to say that as I'm a goody two-shoes. It's just something that makes me happy. It makes me have fun. It's very selfish. I want to do it because I like to do it, and I think that more people would enjoy it if they would get more involved in it. The things that I would focus on if I was going to help Marion, I would focus on art, sports, education, and safety for all. That's the four legs of a stool that I think gives you a good life. Art, sports, education, and safety. And they're all kind of vague terms. Art could be anything from music, or not music. From music to paintings on the wall to pottery. You know, anything along that line. Sports could be bowling, could be darts, could be soccer, could be any number of things where you're active. And sports sometimes isn't as active. The sports aren't as active as you would think. Now, curling is one of those sports. It doesn't seem like it's terribly physically challenging, but boy, it is mentally challenging, and I bet it's a lot harder work than you think. But there are sports, and I'm opening the book in sports to a wide array of sports. Checkers could be considered a sport. Also, education. Education by far is the one of the strongest legs of this stool that we're sitting on. We need a very strong leg of education. Education and I don't mean formal education as much. Formal education is really good, but I think we have to be careful of the formal education. And we've gotten to the point where we test for everything. You get graded. The teachers get graded to the point where I think education should be education, learning things. But education doesn't necessarily mean the 4 R's or whatever, reading, writing, arithmetic, and something else. Anyway, it doesn't necessarily mean those. Education, at my age, I find it really enjoyable to listen to people that know what they're talking about. That's education to me. I went and learned how to do some stained glass at one point. That's education. It may not be math. Well, stained glass is kind of math at times, but it may not be what you normally think of as education out of a school, but opening up your mind so you can think more. Sitting on the couch watching a PBS show that's teaching you about the tectonic plates of the world. That's education. Even though your little skinny derriere is sitting on a couch, you're doing nothing, but that is education because your brain is being expanded. And then safety. Safety is everything else. Safety is making sure that you aren't afraid to live in the world that you live in. Safety is looking both ways. It's partly education. You have to learn how to be safe. But those are the four things that I thought of that Marion needed to concentrate on to make this a better place to live. The very first thing that comes into my mind when I'm having this daydream that helps put me to sleep is that I would take some of that money, probably a large chunk, you know, $1 million, whatever. I would take some of that money and I would help the food pantries in the area. I absolutely love the St. Paul's food pantry. When I was at the credit union, I used to go over there and we'd raise money for that food pantry. And I love what they do for people. It's not government handouts. It's people handouts. It's people to people. And I really, really enjoyed that. And I would work very hard to help all the food pantries, all the places around the area, make sure that they were well-staffed, well-supplied. And I think that would be very enjoyable. Now, it's not going to get me a whole lot, and I don't really... That's not something that gives me joy, is having my name above somebody's door or having people give me a prize that says I'm the best guy there was. And I'm not being coy here. I'm not being dishonest about it. I don't really care about that sort of thing. I enjoy it when somebody acknowledges that I've done a good turn, but it's not something that motivates me to do a good turn. I think we ought to develop, we ought to think about, if I had all this money, I would develop child care facilities. I think as I've gotten older, I really, really enjoy children. Children are, up to a certain age, pretty honest and pretty open about how they feel about you, and they try to be kind to other people. We're taught as children to be the best that we can be. Unfortunately, we forget as we get older how to be that best person that we can be, how to give everybody a smile, how to be honest to everybody. And kids are not honest. I know. I used to tell little fibs to my mother all the time so I could get away with something. But that's not the type of deception that I'm talking about, the deception of knowing you're doing wrong and going ahead and doing it anyway. And we have a lot of that going on right now. The development of child care facilities expands out to, I would love to develop a daycare center that was open to everyone. And I mean everyone, not just for the poor, not just for the rich, but open to everyone. And I would pay a good wage with the millions of dollars that I got from the lottery. Might charge a little bit on a sliding scale, but I would always make it fair all the way across the board. There are lots of problems if you develop things like this. I was thinking about this while I was preparing the program. The first thing people are going to ask me is, well, how do you know that that person deserves the money? Forget it deserves it. We all deserve to be happy. We are all trying to pursue happiness in the United States. And I was brought up not to worry about other people to take advantage of you. If they're taking advantage of you, they know they're taking advantage of you, and maybe they will feel that they need to correct their ways. If they don't, what difference does it make? As long as I'm being good to myself and my family and my friends and the world around me, I don't care how you are. Now, obviously, if you're sticking people with knives or you're being a bad person as far as stealing money or things like that, I'm not real fond of that. But anyway, the child care facility would be manned by quality help, and it would be free to all the mothers and fathers to use to give their children a place to go and be safe, a place that when they're there, they don't have to worry about eating. They don't have to worry about being covered from bad weather, and they don't need to worry about abuse or anything along that line. A good place where we would pay a high salary so that we got just the best people. Another thing I think about is developing mini homes for the homeless. Now, I've seen shows on TV about mini homes for the homeless. Mini homes are kind of the in thing now on the internet. You can build a house that has 300 square feet. Now, my house is about as mini as I want to have, and it has about 1,100 square feet, and that's about as small as I want. But I'm 73, I've collected a lot of junk. Now, I could easily get rid of a lot of that junk, and I wouldn't need all that, but I like hanging on to all the pictures we have of all the kids, and I like to hang on to the toys that they like. I say that we don't want to give them away because they may want to come back and want them. My kids are not going to want the toys. We keep the toys so we can look at them and remember them being children. But these mini homes, it's quite interesting. They've built sections, and I think Los Angeles is a place where they are. The homes are probably 200 to 300 square feet. They give them it's like a small trailer without wheels. I have a little 15-foot trailer myself, and it has a shower, it has a heater, it has air conditioning, it has hot water, cold water, a stove, a microwave. So actually it qualifies as a second home for me, believe it or not, tax-wise. But it's a little mini house that has all of the things that you need to live. And they put them in little rows. They landscape them so they look nicely. And I think that would be a wonderful park to develop maybe 20 homes so that people that need them temporarily. I know there's another question. How do you determine what's temporary? Let's make rules so that they get out within 24 hours of their second week or so. I'm not a big rule maker. I'm not a big person to try to make sure somebody doesn't abuse the rights. But I think most people will be fair and honest. And those that aren't, there are ways. but I think it would be wonderful for our vets that are, and we have a lot of vets that are wandering this country that don't have a place to go. And this would be a place for them to go where they would feel safe and warm and comfortable. I like the idea of removing a lot of the condemned buildings that we have in Marion. And I know that I've heard the mayor talk about removing of the blighted homes that are and I know it's difficult. You can't just tear down homes just because they look nasty and they've fallen into bad repair. There are rules and laws about what you can do, and you have to get permission from the owner, and you have to get you have to pay to have it torn down and so forth. And so there are a lot of problems with that. But right now we have several dozens of homes that really make make Marion look less than enticing to people that would move here. All of these things that I'm proposing, I'm not really proposing them, but all of the things I dream about in my dream to help Marion, all of them will make Marion a better place to live and therefore increase the number of people that want to live here and hopefully increase the number of jobs and increase the ability and the joys of people that live here and grow the city in a good way. Anyway, let's continue on. Removing the condemned buildings would definitely help that. I think we can improve our bike trails. I was really happy when they put bike trails in. I don't think they're used very much. And maybe if we could work on that. I took the bike trail that goes all the way around the city one time. It's a pretty long bike trail, and my wife thought I was crazy, but I took the bike trail all the way around the city. And it's like just riding on the streets. It's really not a bike trail. Yeah, they got white lines that you can go inside and supposedly be safe. But I would like to see us develop bike trails that were landscaped for bikes. I think all of that would increase the livability of the city and increase the number of jobs that we would have because more industries and businesses would like to come to this country or this county. The bike trails that we have right now are pretty much just streets with drawn lines on them. It's good. It's a start. Let's keep doing it. I would like to develop, and this is something I don't know if it would work out at the mall that is kind of going into disrepair, but to develop an artist colony. And this is one of the things that really is high up on my list of dreams for this city, to develop a colony, a place where artists can go. Artists can have their own little storefront. They would have to pay maybe a percentage of what they make. I know there will be some of them that will take advantage of that and lie about it. But if we could get, if we could start to develop an artist colony where artists know they can go for free initially. Well, actually, it is for free, and they just pay a little percentage of whatever they make. And people could go there and watch artists working. That would be one of the rules that you would have to make your area available for people to watch you creating the art. It wouldn't just be galleries. It would be, and galleries are good, that would be part of it, but they would have to have galleries where an artist came maybe two or three times a week and actually sat there and painted. Now, I understand people want to paint outdoors, and that's fine. But you could make it so that a couple times a week they come in and, boy, I love these calls. They're from the United States of America, which means they're trying to sell me something. Anyway, the artist colony, I remember going up to northern Michigan. And in northern Michigan, in Mackinac City and Petoskey and all around up in that area, you could always get fudge. There was fudge galore. As a matter of fact, when I used to race the Chicago to Mackinac race, as we turned the corner at Gray's Reef, which is right at the very top of Lake Michigan, it goes, it turns to the right and heads towards Mackinac Bridge and the Straits of Mackinac. We used to kid that you could hear, you could smell the fudge as you made that turn. You couldn't, by the way. But we would... the neat thing up there is you get fudge and you could watch glass blowers blow glass. And I used to love that as a kid. And I think that an artist colony in Marion, it would have to start small, but and it would also have to start basically free to the artists, a free place to go and set up their studio, be small. Some of them would be bigger than others. If you're going to have a glass blowing studio, you're going to have a pretty good size area because you've got to have a little furnace and so forth. But I think it would. I think it would go. I think people would come. It would make Marion a destination to come and see the artists if they were making art right in front of you. And the mall has got nothing else going for it right now. What are we down to? Maybe 12, 16 stores, someplace like that. I would love to see that that develop into a much more vibrant area. I think that's a neat thing. The art could be anywhere from crafts to actual fine art. Could have monthly auctions. It just could be a place for people to gather, and it has the bones to be a place for people to gather, and I really would like to see us consider doing something like that. Another thing that I think Marion needs to work hard on is its youth sports programs. Not that they don't work hard on it. Having been in athletics for 18 years, I understand that youth sports is somewhat of a moneymaker for some people. I was one of the bidders for the baseball, Marion baseball program. I was the losing bidder of the two. and the gentlemen that are doing it now are fine people, and I have no problem with it. And matter of fact, I was kind of glad I didn't get it because it was going to be a lot of work redeveloping out there in the park where by the aquatic center and stuff like that. We have a pretty developed football, small football program going. We have a pretty developed baseball thing going. And we have lots of dance in the area. I just believe it could be more organized, and more. And I don't mean that it's not organized right now. I mean that it could be made more available to more kids. There are kids, I'm sure, they don't have the money to afford the uniform or the equipment. Maybe there are scholarships available, but they're embarrassed to ask. I could see developing programs in probably the major sports to start with: baseball, basketball, football, soccer, the major sports, developing those in a way that anybody can play and equipment will be available. It may have to be on a rental basis for some, or it may have to be on a return basis for others. And I, having run a sporting goods store for 5 years, owned a sporting goods store for 5 years, I know returning sports equipment is not necessarily the optimum type of equipment to have. You have never smelled anything as bad as a hockey bag. Holy mackerel. If you have any kids that are participating in hockey, open the bag outside when they come home. I don't know why it was hockey, but when I brought in hockey equipment to my Play It Again sports store, it had to be fumigated, washed, and left outside to be rained on for a month. It was terrible. But I think our sports programs could use some support that way. We are my daughter out in North Carolina. They have four kids, and all of them play every sport known to mankind. They're all pretty good at it, but it costs her hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year to get all four kids into a sport each season. And I think we should make it a situation where it doesn't have to cost that type of money. I'm convinced that some of the people that charge that type of money are making money for their own selves. I know not most, or at least not most will admit it, but I'm sure there are some that do that. Let's see. Oh, we need, along the same line, we need to improve all of our parks. We have a lot of parks that I go by every day that aren't being used. And we need to find a way to get them used, even if it means allowing people to use the facilities for little or nothing. If they clean it up and they make it look better than what they came to. You go out to Sawyer Park, and it's not very often used. There are parks out on the east side of town that aren't used very often, except for, like, the baseball-softball diamond is used out there a lot. I really think we can develop. We don't really have facilities for kids that are inviting-looking and safe, and I think that's something that we really need to concentrate on. I'm sure they're safe, and please don't call me and tell me that they're all safe and how much money they spent to make them safe. By the way, if you do want to call me, the number 740, everybody knows that, right? 383-9944. That's 740-383, and on your phone it's WWGH, which is the radio station call letters. But anyway, if you're interested, you're more than welcome to call and give me your thoughts of things that with my $400 million I can help create for this town. Summer music programs. One of the best things I ever got into was music. I think I played violin from the time I was probably second grade. And I got good enough that I played in the South Bend Symphony for a very short time, and then we moved out of South Bend. I played string bass for a while. But the opportunity to play music, I think, is one of those legs that hold up the stool that supports our kids. And you'll notice most of this stuff is kids' support, because kids are what make the world go around, as far as I'm concerned. And those kids are going to be the ones that sit around and decide whether we're going to burn the earth to the ground or burn it to an ash, or we're going to save our country, our world. I'm real fearful about that right now, especially with the new legislation that's proposed that we cut back on our spending for natural resources, and that we cut back on our acknowledgement of global warming. I think that's not only short-sighted, I just think it's foolish and ignorant. All the evidence is there. It's like saying, like me, being an atheist and saying there is no God. Well, I'm never going to say that because if I'm wrong, so I guess I'm more of an agnostic. Anyway, I think we need to make sure that we cover all bases. And anyway, start the summer music program would certainly help our kids. And our kids are what make a Marian go around. And unfortunately, from what I understand, I've talked to lots of parents, and they all say to me, oh, as soon as my kids hit 18, they want to get out of here. Well, I hate to tell you this, Mom and Dad, but all kids, when they hit 18, they want to get out of here. We lived in Athens, Ohio, a very idealistic town, a very beautiful area. Anything my kids wanted to do, and they all wanted to get out of town when they hit 18. Now, my eldest, because he was recruited to run track, did stay in Athens, but he didn't live with us. he lived because he was running track. He lived with some track guys in Athens and ran for OU. But they all want to leave when they're 18. The key here is giving enough incentive that some of them hang around and provide growth to the community. And if they're not proud of the community, they're not going to do that. So we need to make them all proud of the community, whether it's having beautiful shops, having nice bike paths, having good sports, any of the above will help those kids want to stay around and be better citizens. I love the fact that they're opening OSUM to residential students. I think that'll help us. I think the bigger we can grow that section, the better, both MTC and OSUM. I would like to see us look to other expansion. That's the name of the program, A Progressive Life. It doesn't say a regressive life. It's a progressive life. I think we need to work on developing medical care facilities that are good for all. I love, one of the things I would do outside of Marion, if I won the lottery, I would give a lot of money to St. Jude's Hospital. I love their concept. Nobody will pay for anything. It doesn't mean if you're rich, you won't pay for anything. It doesn't mean if you're poor, you won't pay for anything. It means if you're a human being that lives here in the United States, you won't pay for anything. I think they even pay for your traveling out to St. Jude's. I would like to see us at least provide enough medical coverage. And it could be done through our local hospitals. It could be done through our local doctors. But provide medical care with the thought of saving people's lives, not grabbing their money. I find that the idea of money, and it's something that I ran against when I was running for office, is I ran against all the money that's in politics. It no longer has anything to do with human beings. It has to how much money can you raise for the almighty party, both sides. I also think that Marion, and we may even have one of these in the area, but I think it would be wonderful if we could develop a large, and I mean large, with lots of people that know what they're doing, business incubator. Maybe downtown, maybe out at OSUM, but have it a standalone place where people can go and learn how to develop a business, can get help developing a business, and not if we have one, it's a secret, or at least it is to me. And I think that will always help a community. The growth and birth and growth of our robotics in Marion has really helped bring interest to Marion. And I think we can do that. Robotics is one of the areas. We have all sorts of areas that maybe Marion could be the parent of. We could grow industries, which will grow jobs, which will grow the community and grow the state, as a matter of fact, grow the country. If we can develop a business incubator in this area, I think it would be a wonderful idea. Yeah, I was on the popcorn festival group for quite a while, and I really like the idea of expanding festivals. I think the festivals should be, I'm trying to think of a way to say it. I think they should be things that are quality. I think they should be places that people want to go to have fun, but also know they're going to go there and be treated right and have a good time just being there. I think we should help encourage the festivals. The popcorn festival is just one of them. Any festivals that we have in the area, I think we should encourage them to grow, provide them with some seed money to grow. And I think we could really help the entire community. If you're living in a community where people are proud of that community, and I said this earlier, but if they're proud of the community and they're proud of things that are going on in their community, they will stay. They will encourage their kids to stay. They will encourage other people to come to the community. And I think festivals are something that help people be proud. Now, you don't have to have a festival every weekend, but you might encourage the ones that we have to grow bigger and better and stronger. We also have fair facilities. County fair facilities that I think, and this is probably my last point of what I would help put money into, in Marion anyway, our fair facilities are a little run down. I'd like to see them perked up a little bit. I love that we have, that we had indoor football there at the facility, the Memorial Coliseum. I love that we have our fair out there. I spent many a day out at the fair as a purchaser of animals for the credit union, and I really enjoyed that. It was so wonderful because it was so good for the young people, the young farmers specifically, and that encourages people coming to an area that is hugely agricultural. We should encourage that. And you know, one thing I noticed when I would go to those, if you ever want to find fit kids as a group, not all kids are going to be fit, but future farmer kids are very, very fit. They work too hard not to be fit. They push around thousands of pounds worth of beef and pigs and all sorts of things. And they learn about life. They learn how tough it is to be a human being, but be work hard to accomplish something. Our farmers are kind of taking it on the chops right now with all the embargoes that we're not embargoes. What are they called? Tariffs that we have installed. Yeah, I know that the government has given them some handout money, but that's not what farmers want. They want to be reliant upon themselves and their families predominantly, and we've just gotten away from that. Anyway, we're about at the end of the show, and I would really encourage you to think about those things. I know it wasn't terribly political. I guess it could be considered political, and some people say, I'm just a socialist. If they knew what a socialist was, they probably wouldn't say that. But anyway, I hope that you can think about how proud you can be of this community. I was lucky enough to go to a class when I first came here that told me how proud we should be, and I really am proud to be a Marianite. And you're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life.
107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege, for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
No, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press.